Good morning. It's good to be able to head back into God's Word today, and we'll be looking at Psalm 147 this morning. Psalms 147 to 150 were probably written during the time when Israel had been freed from 70 years of captivity in Babylon. These are some of the only psalms where there is no sorrow or lament, only pure praise. And such is justified. Can you even imagine the joy of being released after so much time in captivity? These psalms are wonderful examples of biblical praise, really pointing to God's deeds and character as a cause for praise. We'll be reading all 20 verses of Psalm 147 and stopping as we go to highlight certain things. But I encourage you to pause the video now to read the full psalm to get its full context. Psalm 147 is broken down into three distinct structures, the first of which begins with a call to praise. Verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. We might ask then, why is it fitting? What is it about God that warrants our praise? The psalmist then immediately gives the answer in verses 2 to 6. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, he gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble and he casts the wicked to the ground. It is amazing to think that the Lord of hosts, who calls the stars by name and formed the heavens with the breath of his mouth, chose to draw near to the outcasts, the lonely. In his mighty wisdom, which is beyond comprehension, he saw it best to condescend to us. As said by Charles Spurgeon, from stars to size is a deep descent. From worlds to wounds is a distance only infinite compassion can bridge. Yet he who acts as a surgeon's part with wounded hearts marshals the heavenly host and reads the muster roll of suns and the majestic systems. O Lord, it is good to praise thee as ruling the stars, but it is pleasant to adore thee as healing the broken heart. This, then, is why the psalmist says that it is fitting to praise the Lord. Celebrating the love, mercy, and supremacy of the Lord is ultimately what we were created to do. Fish swim in water, birds fly in the air, and the redeemed revel in God. So take heart that God heals your broken heart, binding your wounds. He knows the number of hairs on your head, and with the same power that created the universe, he sovereignly controls all events in our lives. Therefore, we should praise him. The second part of Psalm 147 begins in verse 7, again calling us to praise. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, making melody to our God on the lyre. And again, the psalmist gives his reasoning as to why we should do this. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food, and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasures in the legs of man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. We're firstly pointed here towards God's sovereign providence. God does not forget even the tiniest of details. Nothing is left to happenstance. God takes care of the grass of the fields, the birds, the clouds, and everything else in all of nature. It is impossible to look out the window and not see something that God is actively taking care of right then and there. In the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? We can so easily get caught up in our own little world that we fail to recognize God's sovereign hand quite literally all around us. It's only when we feel that God is not in control that we start to worry. So when we choose to see God's providence and praise him for it, we may find that we'll have less propensity towards worrying. Psalm 147 also tells us that God delights in those who fear him. So not only does he care for the brokenhearted and come to our aid, he actually delights in us. He doesn't just put up with us. Considering we are wretched sinners, this is amazing. He is so worthy of praise. The third and final section of this psalm begins once again with a call of praise. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. Verse 13 onwards gives more reason for this. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace within your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frosts like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. This points us yet to more attributes of God that we can praise him for. He is the author of peace and blessing. He creates and guides each snowflake and hailstone, and he controls the flow and direction of the winds, rivers, and tides. Not only this, though, he also created the law, which the Israelites were sole recipients of, and which we also receive through adoption into his kingdom. This revelation of the law is actually so much more important than at first glance, though, because the law is essentially a representation of God's character. Thus, him giving us the law is actually more an indicator of his affection for us than the works of nature combined. He cared enough to speak the truth to us through his word. He has documented some of his wisdom within the law, the same wisdom that was used to create the universe. We so often see his law as rules that are designed to keep us from having fun, but they are actually there to keep us from having our joy diminished. He created this place, and he knows the things that will destroy us. So out of his love for us, he gave us his law to show us these things and to warn us about them. We should then praise him for the law, as countercultural as that might sound. The psalm then ends with the same phrase as it began, praise the Lord. This is such a fitting end to such a rich psalm. We've spoken of God being the heart healer who draws near to the humble. He has put the stars in place and knows them by name. He takes care of the animals, birds, skies, land, and seas. He is the author of peace. He creates and guides each snowflake, hailstone, river, tide, and breeze. And he created the law to show us how to lead a godly, wise life. He is supreme over creation, yet intimate with each of us, even in our sin. For these reasons, he is absolutely worthy of praise and deserves our adoration. It's so easy to say or sing words of praise that are empty, with our hearts not really engaged. So when we do praise him, let's remember the one who we are praising, and worship him in spirit and in truth, both for what he has done and for who he is.